Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's April 28th, 2015, and this is Insight Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Santa Cruz Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. I am Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. Welcome to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation, a few laughs, several spiritual perspectives, and as many surprises as possible.
Our time tonight has been gifted. I love that Rochelle wrote that, has been gifted. I think that's a good way to say it, by Go Raw. 100% raw food, good for you. And here's the plus, really tastes good.
Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods and the organic section of Costco. Go to goraw.com to find out where Go Raw can be found in your neighborhood. Tonight, we are going to be dealing with
What'd you expect?
What'd you expect me to be dealing with tonight?
As I said in my announcement, going out to all our potential, if not actual, listeners, expectations is going to be the subject of our program. Wow, that's a big factor in our lives, expectation. Specifically, since expectations determine such a great deal of our life experiences, we thought they deserve special treatment. What'd you expect? And while we will continue to probe into life's mysteries tonight and all the humor therein, we thought you might appreciate a philosophical look at what leads to those pesky expectations. What do they expect from us, and what can we expect from them? So, I hope you're going to hang with us tonight. By the way, you can expect our show tonight to be rich with couple dialogue.
Couple dialogue.
We're like this couple having
dialogue. Doesn't it mean two?
Yeah, I guess it could be.
I mean, redundant. A monologue is right. One, dialogue is two.
That's good. I hope you're all listening out there and counting. Get your fingers out. Anyway, may your expectations fulfill your desires.
Doesn't the Urantia book say that our higher minds want to get us to be expectation proof?
No.
What did they say?
Disappointment proof. That's another show.
To me, it's the same thing, because I think when you have expectations, that's what leads to disappointment. Expectation can lead to exaltation, but they can also lead to disappointment and frustration. And
so you're saying disappointment is like a blood relative of expectation.
It can be a result.
But they're related. They're related by marriage.
I don't think they ever would get married. They're too close. It would be incestual.
But it is incestual. I think that's why it's so problematic for so many people when our expectations don't get fulfilled. And then we're disappointed. And our reaction to being disappointed, one of the key fulcral pivotal elements in our life experience. You see, as each of us is moving along, hello, this is Professor Long West Hawley. As people moving along in the development, they have expectations, or they're prepared to have expectations that they, when they make lots of noise and poop in their panties, they will be comforted and made better. So we have this expectation, and then along comes our first betrayal. Oh, saith the Gila monster. The time when our expectation, because it's always been that way before, is not fulfilled. The momentum is going. Remember those cartoons that used to have the roadrunner hanging from the hill and his feet were going round and round and round just before he collapsed onto the ground? Well, that's what happens with expectation. They have a sudden inertia, and all of a sudden they're out suspended in space, and just about before they are going to collapse on the ground.
Sounds absolutely horrible. like collapsing on the ground. It hurts.
But let me ask you a question. As I was writing this thing, I had this line, may your expectations fulfill your desires. It was one of those lines that I wrote and that I wasn't sure I knew what it meant. All you writers, you ever write things and you go, well, I think I understand that. What was I talking about?
Well, I'm sure we all have that. But I think expectations and desires, they're the marriage. Uh-huh. Expectations and desires. Because we have a desire and then we expect it to come true.
Or not.
No, if we have a real strong desire, we expect to have it.
Wait a minute.
Why would you have the desire if you didn't want it?
Well, it's not a question of that. I've had desires, strong desires, but I didn't expect them to be fulfilled.
Then you weren't disappointed. What'd you expect?
So true. Yeah, I hope you are getting the point of this out there in listener land as we continue to plumb into the depths of things that drive us erratic. There's so many things that drive us erratic, my dear.
Oh, God, don't they ever.
Oh, I see people being erratic all the time. You know, one place that I'm glad they're not so erratic is driving down the road. Although they can be erratic there, too.
It's quite erratic. What is the word? Tested to the amount of accidents that happen.
As we're speaking, the headline on today's newspaper was about this earthquake that happened in Nepal and how there are upwards of 4,000 people already declared dead. Not good news for any of us. However, I feel it's important to put it in context because I believe one of the things that we tend to expect is that the information and the way it's presented to us through media of various kinds is actually a decent, valuable perspective about what's actually going on. Valuable enough that I'm going to base my actions and decisions and beliefs on it. That's what happens a lot. But I want to reframe it because the reality is X number of million, I don't know, how many people die daily?
I don't know. So, could Google it.
So there's all these deaths that are transpiring. And as we sit here in any given moment, there are deaths happening, there are births happening, and there's every conceivable human experience happening. What happens is when media presents it in like a mass number, it makes it so dramatic and so compelling and somehow sets it apart from the other millions of deaths that are happening that we don't know about.
But this is collective, so it makes it horrendous. It's collective. Throughout the world, I'm sure there's been more than 4,000 deaths. But the thing is, this is all happening in one place, and there's so the relatives and the people that are left behind and the amount of suffering is concentrated in a very small segment of the planet. And I think that's what makes it painful.
Okay, here's another way to reframe it, though, and that is, just to finish where I was headed, is that at any given moment, there's billions of these activities happening, and in many ways, we're like listening to a piece of music. We participate with it, but it's also the experience that's kind of happening through us. There's a part of us that's watching it, and there's the senses that are in contact with it, and then there's all the thoughts about it. And what we try to do, I believe, on this show, if I could put it in my own try-to-believe point of view, we try and remind ourselves of the ever-enlarging, expanding contexts that we're a part of, not the least of which is evolution. It's such a valuable context. I'm glad someone invented it.
I was talking to a friend today, and we were talking about the state of the world. We have a new grandchild. She's going to be raised in a very different world than I was raised in, being the third generation up from her.
You know, these babies come equipped when they're born with smartphones in their head already. That's how advanced it's got.
I was telling her that we used to visit Matt Fox, who's a theologian and started an institute called the Institute of
Creation-Centered Spirituality.
The building that he had in Oakland, California, had a very steep staircase. And along the wall of the staircase was a painting of what we call evolution.
Yeah, the billions of years of evolution.
Right. at the very, very top of the stairs was humans.
It was like about an eighth of an inch compared to the 20-odd stairs length. Right.
We've been here a very short time on this planet, and we're sort of working our way through it. And we have our consciousness is very evolved, but at the same time, our emotional body is not as evolved as our consciousness. Our mental acuity is even more evolved than our emotional body. She said, do you think this world will even be here for our grandchildren's grandchildren? I have this strong feeling there will be humans for a long time to come, no matter what happens. What form they will be in or what their consciousness will be like, of course, I have no way of knowing. What do you expect?
Let me just tell you, evolution right now is working on a physical modification to make everybody's thumbs smaller.
What?
So they can text more readily and put their fingers on smaller keys. They're going after really, really tiny keys, and so they've tried to get evolution engaged in making the fingers smaller so that they can use the tiny keys they're going to make for the phones.
My God, somehow I find it upsetting to think that somebody might be actually playing with the size of my thumb.
I don't know if they're playing with it.
I mean, playing with it theoretically. I know that when I have an expectation about someone, this is in relationship, that's where it really caves in. You expect someone to be something, to do something, to act a certain way, to say a certain something, and they don't fulfill your expectations. And boy, does that mess up relationships. To me, a good relationship has to start weeding out expectations.
I would say any quality communication, the more you can weed out expectations. But let me qualify that. Just as there's good cholesterol, good cholesterol.
Give me some good cholesterol.
And the bad cholesterol.
Don't give me the bad cholesterol. Give me the good cholesterol. Don't give me the bad cholesterol.
Anyways, there are good expectations, and I want to get into that, as well as I would call them uninformed expectations. Expectations based upon very shallow, which is okay. Skin is shallow, but it's good. Shallow is not bad. No judgment there. Being a shallow person is not like being a good person. That did cross my mind, didn't it? Well, yeah, just a little bit there. Kind of entered into it. Anyway. Whoops.
This is Errol Strider. I am sitting opposite, and what'd you expect?
So there's good expectations, like good cholesterol, and bad ones. And then I was thinking about good expectations, and we were reminded by Yeshua in his wonderful teachings, like Prince is formerly known as the musician Prince. Well, Yeshua is formerly known as Jesus. But before he was known as Jesus, he was known as Yeshua. And so I like to use the name that people call. Anyway, Yeshua says, expect a blessing. Expect a blessing. Now, just so happens the other day, I wrote in my blog, the subject was, God bless. Question being, what can that possibly mean? My response is, when we say or hear someone say, God bless, if in fact we are to expect a blessing, God bless you, what do we think we're doing? What will happen? Who is this God? And what is blessing? I guess that getting a blessing is receiving some goodies from God, huh? This could mean that God, who has been busy either not giving blessings or has not been giving blessings to me and others that I want God to give blessings to, until it has been asked for and is now persuaded to impart. Huh. To impart the blessings. Whatever. Wealth, love, opportunity, health, better conditions, relief from pain, free tickets. But for a deeper understanding of blessing, let's go to the famous source, the one who started off a bunch of sentences with the line, blessed are the, fill in the blank. These are from the, what is called the Beatitudes, from the Sermon on the Mount. For example, he says, blessed are the simple, is usually translated meek, but it really means more like the simple. For they shall inherit the earth. Now, to me, that sounds like a mixed blessing, because if I inherit the earth, well, then I'm responsible for it. Is that a blessing? Sounds like a heap load of responsibility, if you ask me. But what do you expect? On the other hand, if my job here on Earth is to leave the planet better off for me having been here, well, then inheriting and taking care of the Earth is a good thing. Then I will have been part of the actual blessing for improving earthly conditions. This would be a great Earth Day blessing request. What I think would be really cool blessing, shared from one person to another, is to totally show up in the now, drop any agendas or expectations we might be tempted to foist on the situation, and meet one another with the kind of presence and attention we have when we're opening a gift. For indeed we are. After all, blessing is a gift, is it not? Or, just keep it simple. If I have any influence on the powers that be's, may you and yours be healthy, happy, full of love, and may you be blessed with many opportunities to grow your soul. Some of which may not seem like a blessing. Oh, well, we'll work with those two until better blessings come along.
Expect a blessing. I just got in touch with when you were speaking about that. There are certain things that if we expect them, they can show up because our expectation can be so strong that we see what's coming. So if I say, let's expect a blessing, then I'm open to receive a blessing. And if I'm open to receive a blessing, if an expectation can lead to the openness to receive that which I expect, and it's so congruent to who I am and to the situation in life, then the possibility of receiving that becomes more.
Well, what'd you expect? So what I'm learning as we speak about expectation, that it has two facets, that it's an inherently powerful, like, will muscle. It's a way to use your will. It's one of the will muscles.
Blessing
muscle
or expectation?
Expectation. It's like a muscle. But it can be influenced, like anything else, by false data, ignorance, prejudice, bias, conditioning, all that. Or it can be freed up to expect a blessing. So, for example, if you look at your life and you look at the various expectations you may have had as you look back through your life and the disappointments they may have led to, and then examine what was going on that was kind of, almost want to say, polluting the expectation, or certainly diluting it, so that it wouldn't be the kind of expectation you're talking about, which is the expect a blessing kind of expectation, where you don't bring a load of baggage, past garbage, and you throw it onto the possibility of expectation.
Remember, you had a wonderful experience when our boys were little about expect something, a surprise, was it?
Or yes, that was a great moment.
Do you remember that?
Yes, we were living in Colorado. Both sons were born. Lev was 5 or 6, maybe. He was just getting beyond the point where you could tell him to look out the window and it would be really cool as we drive down mountain road. I could feel that. So I said to him, look out the window and look for visual treasures. So we're looking, driving around. And just as we were coming around this curve, I said to him, as we get to the peak of this curve, look out the window and you'll see a visual treasure. Sure enough, as we ran around the curve, a deer was right by the side of the road, right there. That's an interesting experience. First of all, what led me to say with such conviction that that was going to be so? And to what degree did that heighten his expectation and bring that reality about?
What I realized is when you expect that which is, you will never be disappointed.
Whoa, you heard it here. When you expect that which is, you'll never be disappointed. Boy, that gives you inspiration to go on, doesn't it? Let's just take a minute and reflect on that. Say it again, Rochelle, one more time.
When you expect that which is, you'll never be disappointed.
There you go.
Go on, go on and find your light now. Go on, it's all right. We all feel something similar sometimes. Oh, oh, oh. Or sometimes, oh, oh, oh. Don't wait, don't fear, and don't work too hard lest you love it, cause you're here, we're here. Through ever shifting shades and now somehow, oh, oh, oh. Or somehow, oh, oh, oh. Love, it's love, it's love that keeps me high enough. And the drugs and the sex, you know their lost respect and sacredness. It's sad, but true, most things can hurt or help, it's up to us. Some words I hope they grow, but please grow in boundless fertile hearts and endless fields. We'll know most things can hurt or help, it's up to us. La da da da, oh, up to us. Those things you've always wanted to, my friends. When the morning comes, our dreams don't have to end. It's true, I'll be there when I can for you, my friend. Oh, I'll be there when I can.
That was Elephant Revival, a group that I just discovered, with a song called Go On. My neighbor, Dan, was so kind to think of me when someone turned him onto this music. One of the advantages of living in Lupin, where we live, is that we know everybody who lives here. It really is like a little village. And it's interesting, at any given moment, any one of us can play the role of the village idiot. What'd you expect? I've seen us all be idiots. When someone says, what do you do here? I said, well, sometimes I'm the village idiot. What'd you expect?
Yeah, it's very easy to be human when you're human. And idiocy is part of our humanity somehow. We haven't escaped it quite.
We're just fumbling along. To me, that kind of explains idiocy.
And going back to when you expect that which is, you'll never be disappointed. And then I said, well, what is? If you expect to drop a chair, to let go of a chair, you would expect it to hit the floor. Because that's what is. Gravity
right.
is. So
right.
there your expectation would be fulfilled instantly. It would hit the floor. If you breathe out, you'll probably breathe in. That's an expectation that's pretty fulfilling, unless it's the last breath you ever take.
Uh-huh. And how would you know? As you're taking your last breath, you're thinking, I wonder if this will be the last breath.
I don't know.
Let me try.
We don't usually think that because death is so terrifying to us that we don't think about it at all. We try not to think about it anyway. I always find it funny because it's the one thing that we absolutely cannot escape, death. And yet it's the one thing most of us deny completely. It's not going to happen to me. Oh, so-and-so died, and he died, and she died, but me, I'm still here, and I'm not going to die, which I find quite funny. And I do think that that freedom happens when I am able to realize that I'm going to die, and it's perfectly part of my life.
I wrote this children's musical. It's called Inga, and it's based upon a Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale. It's called The Girl Who Trod on a Loaf. And I love the story. It just was so amazing. And very simply, this girl who lives in the country, her parents, who are very poor, send her to the city. Anyway, I don't have to get into the whole story of that, because the point I wanted to make is I wrote a song. The essence of the song was that the fact that we go to sleep every single night is just a rehearsal for death. So we get used to the notion that we go unconscious and then we wake up. Think about it. We go unconscious completely, utterly, during sleep. Yes, we take it for granted because we do it, but as you expand out, think about, well, there are these creatures on this planet having experiences, and for however many hours a night, maybe 7 or 8 on the average, they go completely and utterly unconscious, not aware of their outer circumstances. Now, that is a fascinating thing. I believe that that's the time when the indwelling spirit, because we're not busy gathering experiences, it's got its stash. The indwelling spirit is turning those experiences into fodder for soul growth.
Oh, I like that. That's delicious. But what'd you expect from your mouth?
Oh. This is Inside Out. With Errol and Rochelle, you're the...
Yes, I'm the female on the show.
Tonight we're looking at expectations and how we're affected by them. We talked earlier about light.
We did?
A candle? Were we talking about a candle?
Not to me.
Oh, well...
You've been talking to here. We're only sitting opposite each other there.
Yeah,
that
well,
many people.
See if you can connect it. Here's a poem that I wrote many years ago. It's called The Candle Sits on the Road. A candle sits on the road, flickering in the dust at noon. Tempestuous sparks turning into a fountain of rainbows, each in its own color. And the bright day still abounds, and the wind comes up to challenge the flickering, funneled, fragrant candle, almost lost in its embryonic, embered state. But not yet. Not yet fallow. Not yet waxed down into ashes. Still, enough of a blaze there, in spite of sun's omnipotent overpresence, the sun's ominous overpresence, that this one torrid blaze of light can erupt into galaxies.
And it was on the road?
It was very curious. That's how I found this out, because I saw this candle on the road, and I was thinking, wonder why there are candles on the road. Maybe I could find out. So I went down there, I bent up, and the candle was kind of like a miniature version of the burning bush, in the sense that you could go up to any light. I mean, think about it, it was just the light thing was burning. So it's a mini burning bush. But it was burning going on, which was the main thing about the burning bush, was the burning. So the candle, like the bush, is burning. It's a little, tiny little part of the burning. And I said, candle, what is so? And then the candle basically downloaded that poem.
What do you expect?
It's a great term because it keeps bringing us back to what we're dealing with tonight, which is expectation.
What'd you expect? It brings home so many memories, that little phrase, what'd you expect? The disappointments that came after that phrase, what'd you expect?
Let's do a little riff on it. I'm going to say some things, or you can say some things, and I'll say what'd you expect. I put money in the bank, and I put my credit card in the machine, and it was nothing there.
What'd you expect?
We got a little cat. It was just a baby cat. It was supposedly house trained, but evidently it wasn't house trained.
What'd you expect?
My mother-in-law was coming over some time ago, and she was always bringing things. One of the things she brought a lot of were washcloths.
What'd you expect?
Do you have one?
I think we still have the washcloths.
No, that's not the washcloth. Do you have a thing that I can say, what do you expect to, an improv?
I put the red shirt into laundry. Everything turned pink.
What did you expect? Give me another one. This is good.
Okay. I put a piece of bread in the toaster, and I had it on high, and the toast burnt.
Mm. What did you expect?
Well...
That was a little serious.
A bird made a nest outside our door here. And the nest is really low. I mean, low enough for Errol to look into it and see the eggs that were there. And then he said he saw some birds. And now he doesn't see any birds anymore or eggs. And it was a little finch, the bird that had the eggs in the nest. People who looked at it said, oh, my God, that's very dangerous that she made that nest so low because there's predators here. There's possums and skunks and all sorts of little critters that like fresh eggs. So she made this really low, and now she has no birds of her own.
Oh. Well, what'd you expect?
There are sad things about what you expect. That's the problem. I don't know.
It's a very fine line. That was sad about the bird. I was very invested in them showing up and being these great birds that I could watch grow. I'm in the grandparent mode. The other day I sent someone a thing because I was expecting the birds, and I said, will that make me a bird grandparent? Or will it make me a grandparent for the birds? But I haven't heard back from her yet.
What'd you expect?
Speaking of birds,
the love in you, it runs so deep. On the surface here I sleep. Walk in the dark and light, walking all the day and night. Rivers fall, the ocean sigh, fall for you here every time. Like a beat of the flower a buzz, does a flower question love? Best quest is prime, beating chest and open minds. I stand here in your midst, I see you through the smoke and mist. Once again for you I fall, underneath a tree so tall. Upon the limbs a nesting dove, does a birdie question love? Backdrop of the night, I melt into the starry light. The moon pushes and pulls the tides.
tempts your soul to stay alive. Once again for you I fall underneath a million stars. How could you ever have enough? Oh, this must be. Slumber into the wonder under the starlight dance and rain. So out from your slumber into the wonder under the starlight dance and rain. Out from your slumber.
Birds and stars. And again, that's the elephant revival. Does a birdie question love? When I looked into the nest, and the first time I saw that there was a bird that had hatched, I only ever saw one. His mouth was open. Talk about expectation. That's how I saw the bird until it was no longer there.
The bird just came up.
Oh, Errol, it's okay, honey. What'd you expect?
Oh.
Life is cruel. It is and it isn't.
Like he says in the other song, again, being in the now. I love that little passage he said about being in the now. Oh, shades of now. That's what he said.
Who?
The elephant revival guy in the first song. He used the expression shades of now. That's such an interesting way of describing the presence. Shades of now. There are these shades of it, even though it's now. That gives me pause, makes me kind of go, what shade are we in?
There's this expectation of what I can give that allows me to receive anything. I can give love. Therefore, I expect love to be out there because I've given it. I've made it happen. That's an expectation that has to do with what I'm capable of doing.
What'd you expect? It seems to me that there's a proportion between the more we know who we are, the better we can use the muscle of expectation. For example, as I expand into the larger and largerness of my being, that is not a reactive thing to circumstances and being driven by needs and impulses and desires, but I'm just able to stretch out into the expansiveness of all that there is and recognize myself as one face on all of that expansiveness. From there, I ask myself, what do you expect? The answer is, I expect to greet myself fully, unreservedly, in everything I encounter.
There you will not be disappointed. If you know yourself without being in any way judgmental or even polarizing, I really do think it has to do with as we grow, our expectations become so different than they do when we're immature. That our maturity creates new expectations for ourselves, for life. It's like, I don't expect people to behave a certain way. I'm not disappointed they behave the way they behave.
Well, what'd you expect?
Right. It's not that I lessen my expectations, but they're more realistic. Realistic in the sense that I'm more aware of what people can do and what they can't do.
Well, isn't that a facet that accompanies grandparenthood? That you have enough experience that when you see people about to do something that you bumped your head against numerous times on the expectation that if I bump my head the next time, it won't hurt. We did What's the Catch? Was our last week's show, and we talked about Catch 22, but we didn't actually describe the scene in the movie where the Alan Arkin character is banging his head against the wall.
Expecting the wall to cave in?
No. The guy asks him, why do you do that? He says, because it feels so good when it stops.
What'd you expect?
It's a good thing to stop, especially when you stumble in life. And I look at stumbling as any time you have some version of whoops, and it can be a whoops or a whoops, or pain, or when there's a breakdown, then you watch your reaction to it. And that's how we learn, children, about how we are dealing with life, by watching our own reaction to it. Would you get on the couch, please? No. Just lie down. You'll be by yourself. I won't be getting on the couch with you. And now we're going to take a look, Liebchen, at some of the reactions that you've been having when you are finding yourself, what's the word, pissed off. I think that is a good catch-all phrase to what we're talking about.
Normally, I get pissed off when I have an expectation of how a situation should be and how the people within that situation should behave, and they don't behave that way, and the situation doesn't turn out the way I want it to.
You are married. Tell me, I'm sure there are circumstances in which you have an expectation about your husband that is not being fulfilled. Please, describe
what
one.
What do you expect? My husband, Dr. whatever your name is.
Wiener Schnitzel.
My husband tends to be messy sometimes.
Let me write that down. Messy husband.
When I said to him, God, you're so messy, and he said to me, you didn't ask for neat.
He's a smart aleck, isn't he, yes. Your husband? Yeah.
What'd you expect? I wanted a man that I could share my spiritual life with more than anything else. And of course, I wasn't adverse to the fact that I had a physical.
We'll discuss the adverse reaction to the physical reaction next time. But right now, let's stay with the expectations.
If 9 out of 10 things that you ask for, you get, and one thing that you get that you didn't ask for, and it's the thing that's a little bit disturbing, I think that's a good record. I don't have any problem. But it always bothers me.
Oh, that's right. There is that.
That's my thing. You think I'd learn by now that when we're going to go someplace and we set a time, that my husband will rarely meet that time unless we're going to catch a plane.
So not
something.
Only is he a space slob, which we know about, he's a time slob. Very sloppy with time and space.
Period.
You must be a very forgiving person there, Fräulein.
What you expect?
Oh, that's right. That was good. It's good to get on the couch once in a while, even if you're by yourself, just to kind of drop, hunker down and go, what am I doing with it? Especially as the days become fewer and fewer between you and the time at which this mortal frame will be cast off. Possibly an aspect that is still you. And this is what we're kind of expecting. Continues. And not only am I expecting it, I'm basing all my joy and love on that expectation. That love itself is what's driving, permeating, animating, and filling up the system. And once you become conscious in that matrix that is love moving through evolution as your own self-awareness, your self-awareness can never be taken away from you. And that self-awareness continues throughout existence because it inherently is infinite. Our capacity to know ourselves as ourselves.
Not the knowledge of ourselves in the physical.
There is no end in sight for
That's
the
right.
self.
What do you expect? There's no end in sight. Period. The end has no sight. You don't know what it's going to look like because it's the end.
Yeah, there's nothing to see.
Oh,
it reminds me of a line from the Urantia book, which says, I find this delightful. The universe philosophers, and the Urantia book, you have to understand, is a book that essentially has the premise that all existence is filled with, permeated with beings of every conceivable aspect and non-aspect. And we're just one little planet in this system with these little material-based animal origin beings. Universe is busy, busy, busy with lots of beings and creatures and things going on. But it says, the universe philosophers have pretty much decided that there is no such thing as an end.
What'd you expect? It doesn't seem to be at this point, anyway, in our development in consciousness.
But I have a question Rochelle and I would like to ask you as we talk about this potentiality. Here's our question to you.
What about you? Will you participate with me in the quest beyond the known? Will you walk by my side as I ascend the mountain of trust?
Will you accompany me through a vision beyond sight? Will you bear with me as I transcend the limits of self?
Will you walk along with me and leave behind your weighty past?
Will you hear my point of view, though it clashes with your own? Will you discern those subtle roads that lead you away from the city?
And set off with me on ultimate trails that end in a cosmical clearing?
Will you let go of the easier way of dependable sights and sounds?
And abandon yourself to the sterling unseen and the bountiful mystery of light?
Will we arrive together on a crest overlooking time?
Having transcended the tasty finite and the surging appeal of matter.
Will you run along with me, keeping your eye on the goal before us?
Trusting that you will not fall down or will have placed your hopes in fiction.
Will you join and harmonize me by falling in unified step?
Will you blaze the trail of faith as we follow the infinite way?
What about you?
What about you?
Of course, that was us doing a poem that I wrote. Guess what the title is?
What about you?
What'd you expect? It's just a handy thing. I encourage you listeners to find places tomorrow, in tomorrow's conversations, to insert the phrase, what'd you expect? I bet if you both look for those opportunities and even do more than that, expect them. They will happen, and you'll find yourself going, well, what'd you expect? And you'll think of us and our time together tonight with amusement, I hope.
You can say it just for about anything. No matter what you say, I can say what you expect. Go ahead, say anything.
It's going to cost me a bunch of money.
What'd you expect?
They left the equipment out.
What'd you expect?
Can I even finish? No, don't need to.
What'd you expect? You don't have to finish it because what'd you expect? That's what you expected.
When you say it that way, it's like it's not going to be anything different. And it's going to be a permanent kind of limitation that you'll keep bumping into on and on and on and on. That's what qualifies it to be in the what you expect pejorative family.
But then when you think of, I stood up on this mountain and I looked out and the view was just astounding.
What did you expect?
Right. Today I took two people to the back deck of the restaurant that overlooks Lupin. It's such a beautiful view.
Well, it overlooks the whole side of the Santa Cruz Mountains with redwoods going everywhere.
It's really gorgeous. What you expect, right? They looked at this view and they were delighted. And the young woman who'd like to live here, I could feel her salivating at the thought that she could have this experience every day by living here.
And then we had to call housekeeping to pick up her salivation because it was just all over the deck.
And what'd you expect?
We have these departments here, and I admire the people here for their ability to just kind of make it up as we go along because we're all learning here. This is a wonderful learning environment where we live in Lupin. We have such a diverse group of people who come through it, who work here as an exchange. And it seems like every week we've got a new person in the system. Some stay, some are here for a time, some go on, some don't fit. I don't know where they'll fit, but who am I to say?
What you expect there? What did you expect him to say? That's what I'm about.
But it's such a rich education. It reminds me when I started managing an apartment building in San Francisco when I was in my early 20s and I'd gone through college mostly until I was, well, thrown out of a couple of them. But that's another story.
And it's a story. What'd you expect from Errol?
But I remember at that time in my early 20s feeling like I was cast adrift. The fact was I didn't know what to expect. And I wanted to know, especially with regard to this death thingy. So I set off to see if you could find something out about it, including playing a guy who dies and is resurrected. No, not Lazarus. No, not Yeshua, Jesus. No, a knight in the show Camelot that Lancelot, Mr. Full of himself, Lancelot, by the way, slays and then resurrects. And yeah. I was that knight. So in many ways, it was kind of an answer to the question that I had raised early on, which is, what about death? And so he says, well, okay, how many people have a chance to play a guy who dies and is resurrected? Not many.
No, unless you're in that play. And of course, everybody who ever played that part in that play is how many people were in that play and played that part.
We have a union. Because in some plays, they want to take that scene out, but we won't let them because it's too delicious to actually have to.
I don't know that scene. At least I don't remember it at all.
Well, it's not something that you...
Was it in the movie?
I don't know if it was in the movie. I know it was in the play. I did the play twice, but only once did I get to play the Resurrected Knight.
Wow. Is that the way it's labeled, Resurrected Knight? When you put out your resume, you put Resurrected Knight. I played that.
And not only that, when I got the casting call, it specifically asked if you've had an experience of being resurrected. Please mention that in your response.
Well, what do you expect? That's pretty silly.
You know what? Our silly time together is about to come to an end.
Really?
Yeah. What'd you expect? It's been an hour, almost. We hope that you've enjoyed our time together and you will spread the word or spread yourself, but spread yourself thinly. Very nice, thin spreading of yourself. Don't make a big weight of yourself as you spread around life. Whatever. Okay. Just a minute, Michelle. I have one question before we go. And that is, what do we need to remember?
Remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
What'd you expect? And don't forget to eat that Go Raw to keep the pain away and keep your body healthy.
I'm Rochelle.
And I'm Errol, signing off from
Lupin Lodge.